You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
It's in the Scottish Government's interest not just to protect, obviously, public services, but also to show further divergence from the rest of the UK.
It does show the sort of strain that the market is under this winter.
The other factor playing into all this is Brexit. Neither political party will even contemplate relaxing EU migration. This is the elephant in the room, isn't it?
You're listening to Bloomberg UK Politics. I'm Stephen Carroll.
And I'm Tom McKenzie.
Welcome to the programme. I feel like this is a mark of how significant a day in the news it is that you are here, Tom. This is our very own version of a reshuffle, is that you have stepped into the shoes of Carolyn Hepker or Ewan Potts.
Big shoes to fill, but we are trying to mirror the reshuffle that is going on in Downing Street right now.
I hope that we can characterise it correctly, as it was billed as a mini reshuffle, or as I saw wags on the internet referring to it as a reshuffle.
A reshuffle.
Yes,
very
indeed.
Nice.
Of course, this all brought around by Nadeem Zahawi departing as Conservative Party chair. He's now been replaced by Greg Hands. There's also been a bit of a reshuffle in departments. The sprawling Department of Business, Energy and Industrial Strategy has been broken up. So this is leaving Grant Shapps as Energy Security Secretary, Kemi Badenoch as Business and Trade Secretary. Michelle Donnellan's also got a different job now. She's Science, Innovation and Technology Secretary. That's a brand new government department. And then Lucy Fraser is going to take over as the new Culture, Media and Sport Secretary. So lots of slightly different jobs for some familiar faces.
So you wonder how much of this is down to actually executing policy and part of the agenda of the government. How much of it is about stemming the losses, the bloodletting in the polls for this Conservative government. And we'll see if this has any impact. And in fact, the general public beyond us who are in the weeds on all things UK politics actually really care about these movements.
Yeah, well, exactly. And what sort of difference it'll make to running things of Westminster? Well, no better person to ask than our UK political editor, Kitty Donaldson, who joins us now. Kitty, thank you for your time on a busy day. Anything surprising for you in this reshuffle?
No, not really. It's a bit deck chairs, isn't it, on the Titanic. Kind of interesting that he's decided to break up the sort of monolith that is Bays, or was Bays. And as you were saying, it's been split up and Grant Shapps has got energy security. Michelle Donnellan's got a whole new department called Science, Innovation and Technology. And Kemi Badenoch gets the business bit. And I suspect that Grant Shapps won't be very happy about this because he's effectively been demoted. Although, arguably, he's also been given a massive task. We've had a note from Number 10 and they say, oh, by the way, Grant Shapps, he's been tasked with securing our long-term energy supply and bringing down bills and halving inflation. So good luck with that.
Wow. Yeah. Although our team at Bloomberg Economics would say, we're going to get to halved inflation by the end of this
yes.
year. Maybe that's the easy part of the task list for Grant Shapps.
Yes, we've got there anyway. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think our chief Europe economist, Jamie Rush, put it to us last week that a suckling pig could be in charge of the economy and inflation would still come down by half this year. Talk to us about then. OK, so Grant Shapps perhaps not very happy with this job. What about Greg Hands? He's taking over the Conservative Party chairmanship.
Oh, yes. And that's a poison chalice, if ever there was one. It's taken a week, and I understand they've been sort of ringing around asking people, and they finally found someone to take the job. That's because it's a bit of a poison chalice. Basically, we've got local elections coming up in May, and the Tories are expected to do really, really badly. And so he'll have to be the one who goes on radio, on TV the morning after those election results and goes, no, it's all fine, nothing to see here. And then, of course, in the run-up to the general election, which we're expecting within 18 months, he's the one who's got to get party donors to cough up, to stump up loads of cash, right? And Alex Wick and my colleague was reporting at the weekend that there's a £25 million shortfall in the Tory party coffers at the moment. So, I mean, good luck to the guy. He's going to need it.
Kemi Badenoch, MP, of course, Secretary of State for Business and Trade and Romania's President of the Board of Trade and Minister for Women and Equalities. Does her job become a little bit more difficult, a little bit easier if you get an agreement around the Northern Ireland Protocol? Are there trade deals that this government are working up?
Probably a bit easier, but actually the kind of the protocol stuff's being handled out of the Foreign Office. Mm. So it's sort of not really in her bag at the moment. But I guess because post-Brexit trade is the other part of the coin, the other side of the coin to business, right? If you see your future as a trading nation, then actually it makes sense to bring them together. And it just shows you again that she is on the up, Kemi Badenoch. She's got a strong following in the party, and I think she could use this as quite a good sort of launch pad after the election, if, as expected, the Tories lose the election. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she stands again to be the leader of the party. And she'll say, look, I had this massive job, and puts her in a good position. So I suspect she, where Grant Shapps is not pleased this morning, I suspect she is quite pleased with what she's got out of this.
What does it tell us that there aren't really any new names in this moving around of ministries? What was this a moment that someone could have broken through, or is that list not long enough of close allies that Rishi Sunak has?
I think you've got to take it where we are in the electoral cycle. Like I said, only 18 months away from a general election. It's sort of, if you start bringing really new people in now, they don't have a chance to bed in and do anything significant. You kind of need steady hands on the tiller to see through and try and achieve some of these things. And, you know, some people are kind of sending us text messages this morning going, Rishi's only concerned now about his legacy because he knows he's going to lose the election. So he wants his legacy to be science, and hence this new science department. I mean, that's kind of like the unkind version, but, you know, you can see where they're coming from.
That's pretty damning. Will he need to find fresh blood to fill the boots of Dominic Raab? How close is Dominic Raab to be pushed out at this point? The allegations keep coming. There's an investigation.
They do. Although, if you've read the accounts of the allegations, none of them seem to pass the test of being truly dreadful. I and this is a personal view, I don't think Dominic Roberts is in as much trouble as people seem to think he is. And I suspect when, unless there's a kind of clear smoking gun when the report comes out, and don't forget this report was commissioned in November and we've been waiting and waiting for it to come out. And I've been told, you know, next couple of weeks, but, you know, we wait and see. Unless there's a smoking gun in that, he's probably safe. And don't forget, he's a huge ally of Sunak, and he'll be keen not to lose him.
What does all of this mean for Rishi Sunak? Is this a bolstered up cabinet that's going to allow him to I suppose, build some support?
I mean, I suppose so. Sorry, I sound a bit kind of like flat about this. It's just a bit, really, you know, it just sort of tinkering around the edges, I think. It's not a sort of big kind of, this is my vision and you know, these are the kind of the right people for the job, arguably, had he sort of got in when, had he beaten Liz Truss and been sort of a new fresh start for the party, he could have done a much bigger reshuffle and kind of put his stamp all over it. But he inherited Jeremy Hunt, which I don't think he minds necessarily. But this is the kind of first chance he's had to sort of say, these are the people I'm creating in my own image. Apart from his original cabinet appointments, but he inherited quite a lot of those as well. And it's just a bit sort of, okay, right, next. I don't see it as a big moment. He needed to fill the party chairman role. He's done the science thing, but, you know, he lives to fight another day.
Kitty, I think probably your sigh of exasperation speaks for the nation to some extent. Talk to us about at least how the nation is feeling more broadly. Talk to us about what this could do for those polling numbers. Any sense that this moves the dial when this is all announced? It hits the 10 o'clock news later. Well, it's been announced, but when it gets digested, is there any sense that it could move the dial on the polls?
I mean, I think you alluded to this earlier, right? Like, if geeks like us are a bit like of whatever, then I don't think, you know, down the dog and duck in Barnsley that anyone cares at all. Machinery of government is so boring that I mean, I'm sort of, you know, I get paid to write this stuff and I'm like sort of drag my fingers over the keyboard. So I really don't think this will have any kind of impact in the country.
Okay, Kitty Donaldson, our political editor, thank you very much for, as always, your searing political analysis of this news that we've had. So this changing of roles within the government, Greg Hands becomes Conservative Party chair and Grant Shapps, as we're hearing from Kitty there, now focusing on energy security in the in the new Department of Energy Security and Net Zero, and a couple of other new names in there as well. So interesting to get a sense of what exactly is moving around there in government. But I think you know, the point that Kitty made there is that ultimately this doesn't have a huge impact. Although I quite like to end up down the Dog and Duck at Barnsley with Kitty. I think we'd have a great time.
The Dog and Duck and the Barnsley sounds like a great venue to be at. I think we need to book that in with Kitty Donaldson at the fore. Absolutely. Look, some other news that came out today around the UK economy. We heard from Danny Blanchflower. He was the former member of the MPC, also deeply critical of the Bank of England's response to the inflation pressures that this UK economy is feeling, saying that
to be fair, he does love to criticise
the
Bank of England.
No, there is that context. It's important. He's been an Uber dove and he's been critical of the Bank of England. In fact, any central bank that raises interest rates, it seems, over the last few years. But what he also said interesting was that the pressure on the housing market here could be the thing that changes and that causes a pivot by the BOE to actually cut rates later this year.
Yeah, and that was something that we actually heard as well in the latest numbers on the housing market from Halifax, showing that London house prices were flatlining, the worst performance since 2019 for London. Overall, we did see no change in house prices month on month, but in over the 3 months, the past 3 months are down nearly 4%, according to Halifax. Halifax expecting a bigger drop, a drop of around 8% in 2023 in house prices this year, which is, you know, sort of in and around many of the estimates. We've seen some predictions of a much bigger drop and some predictions of a much smaller one, but certainly it's not great, the outlook for house prices for this year.
It's been a particularly difficult year, it seems, for those economists to actually get a gauge on how big the drop was going to be, and there isn't really a consensus view, as you say. Though a lot of economists come back and they do kind of push back on the more negative scenario outlined by Blanchflower in terms of the collapse of the housing market. A lot of economists I speak to say, yes, we could see a 10%, possibly 15% drop, but you're not going to get a kind of 2008, 2009 style housing crisis in the UK.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder. That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do. The people in the spotlight, athletes, actors, artists. But what about the people behind the scenes? You know, the ones who make it all happen. The lighting engineers, the sideline photographers, the caterers. They're small business masterminds. And if there's one thing they have in common, it's making their money work harder.
That's why they have a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, where they are now earning a generous 5% annual percentage yield. Yes, 5% APY. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
So the NHS is today recovering from the biggest strike in its history, mid-rail strikes, and what union leaders say will be the most disruptive week of strikes to date. The pretense that strikes aren't actually affecting people appears to have been dropped as many more people find themselves disrupted by the wave of industrial action. Let's speak now to Sam Tarry, Labour MP for Ilford South and former Shadow Transport Minister. Sam, thank you very much for being with us on the programme. I want to ask you, just as we've been speaking to you, we've been hearing that there has been that reshuffle has been announced by Rishi Sunak and the government. There's a creation of a splitting up the current business, energy and industrial department into new ministries. So a separate ministry for business and trade, one for energy security that Grant Shapps is going to be in charge of. Is this going to, do you think, materially change the direction of the government? Is it going to make them a more powerful policymaking force?
I think it's very interesting. I mean, I'd need to see the detail, but that sounds to me like a sideways move for Grant Shapps. The reason I think that's particularly interesting, obviously, you sort of gave a heads up on the wave of industrial action. I mean, this week, obviously, you know, huge waves of industrial action in the NHS and the biggest period of industrial action, certainly in my lifetime. Grant Shapps was the person really orchestrating a lot of the moves, a lot of the decisions being taken by, for example, people in the Department for Transport, in other sectors where there are obviously negotiations going on in health. Really a lot of the kind of strategy behind sort of taking on the unions, as it were, was really Grant Shapps' baby. And if Sunak has seen the light and realised actually not resolving these strikes, not resolving this industrial action, basically pitting yourself against firefighters, nurses and teachers, is going to decimate him at the election. It feels to me that maybe, you know, this could be quite an interesting one to watch, because obviously that is a smaller brief, really, from what Shapps had before.
Although the polling would suggest it's a little bit more nuanced in terms of how the public views these strikes and this industrial action. Sam, what is your sense, speaking to union members, speaking to those on the picket lines, as to where we are? Is there any sense that any of these disputes, and there are so many of them, are any closer to being resolved?
In a word, no. I mean, I saw Mick Lynch from the RMT yesterday. I saw general secretaries from five different unions. I had a meeting with them yesterday night. There's a real sense of frustration. You know, I think, look, nurses, even rail workers, none of them want to be on strike. They do want a resolution. You know, the government's bringing forward nonsense pay offers and bringing forward stuff where they're trying to tie so much changes to people's work and potentially people losing jobs that it almost guarantees that you're not going to get a deal. I mean, I really do think this is a distraction activity. And part of the problem you see is one of the reasons they won't settle with rail workers is what they don't want is a so-called domino effect. But obviously, you know, the reality is that for most people in the public sector, their pay is not kept at the same rate in terms of increases year on year as most people in the private sector. That's why you've got a crazy situation where firefighters and nurses are using food banks. You know, I had a teacher in a piece of casework last week who is in a terrible situation, you know, put into, you know, sort of temporary accommodation, you know, with rats and, you know, sort of like soiled sort of clothing to live in. This is a teacher, this is just some part of the sort of so-called professional classes. You know, when we're in that kind of situation, it just shows how severe the economy is. So I think it's very interesting that, you know, one of the things the government will try and chuck at people on strikes now, well, what do you think the public think? Well, actually, the public are the vast majority of these people going on strike, you know, and the problem is they don't want a domino effect. So if they settle with rail, they might think it means they've got to settle with civil servants, they've got to settle with health, they've got to, you know, you see what I mean? It starts to domino effect across, and they don't want to do that. And the problem is that most people now just don't accept that it should be their wages that continue to be depressed, when actually the government's economic strategy, their failure to grow the economy, the fact we're now in a recession, is not their fault. You know, and it gets compounded by the fact that when you see people like Nadeem Zahawi having to make deals with HMRC over £5 million, Sam, people just think this government is so out of touch.
To your point around a government reluctant to want to see a domino effect, whether or not that is indeed the way they're looking at it, the reality is that they cannot obviously do double-digit pay rises across the board for all of these different demands, all of these different sectors. I mean, that is a reality, a fiscal reality, that surely you accept.
No, I don't accept that, actually. I think it's a fiscal fallacy. I think that where does
the money come from? We've seen the market reaction to a government that wants to spend and cut taxes. The markets will not allow us to continue borrowing.
In my view, we need to have more progressive. We still have, for a start, right? We still have one of the lowest corporation taxes in the G7. Okay, you've got companies that are making record profits. There's a total unwillingness. You know, the government has been dragged anywhere near to even consider a windfall tax on energy companies. They've not dealt with non-dom status. There are ways to get billions of pounds coming into the exchequer, and that is going to mean having more progressive taxation. And if you are going to have tax cuts, it'd have to be at the bottom end of it, not at the top end. And I think that the reality is, well, if we are messing around on things like HS2, for example, we're sort of saying, oh, well, actually, you know, we're going to pull back on infrastructure spending. The reality is we do need to be in a situation where the only way, in my view, to grow the economy is we need to have an honest conversation about the fact we're going to have to borrow to do it. And there are sensible ways to do that. There are different ways you could issue bonds, for example. You could have, you know, a whole range of different options on the table to do some of that stuff. But you cannot have a situation where you keep blaming, inflation, for example. Inflation hits people, mostly the asset owners. The reality is we're now living in a situation where most people in this country, for the first time in British history, or the last 100 years, there's a majority of people don't own their own home and probably going to have no chance of doing that. So inflation hits asset owners. It doesn't hit people who can't actually even afford a home in quite the same way. And so I think...
But do you want the Labour Party then to commit to the double-digit pay increases? Because they haven't done so far.
I think the difficulty is, right, it's difficult for the Labour Party to say, we're going to commit to this specific figure when you're not, A, got the knowledge of everything that's going on in the Treasury, all the detailed kind of workings and briefings and forecastings, plus you're not sat around the table. At the moment, in rail, for example, it's not just about the pay that those things are not being settled. It's about the changes to the terms and conditions and the potential scale of job losses in that industry. It broadly is about pay in most, but the same for teaching, for example. It's not just about the pay, although it is mainly about that, but it's also about the level of work. So, for example, teachers, they do more unpaid hours than any other profession in the UK. That's why you're seeing so many people getting burnout, so many people leaving the teaching profession, and the quality of education therefore dropping. And more, this is the most outrageous thing, people who are not qualified teachers teaching vast amounts of children. That would be totally unacceptable 10 or 15 years ago, to have most of your children at school not taught by qualified teachers. That's the reality that's happening all across the country. And the thing is, you have to at some point bite the bullet and say, we will have a complete and total decimation of the NHS, we'll have a failing education system, and we'll have a police fire service that is not fit for purpose. Yeah, that has to be paid for, and we have to be honest with the public about how we're going to pay for that. And I think, you know, we do need to be clear with people that the best way to do that is to grow the economy. And at the moment, the government has not got a strategy, in my view. They've not got a serious industrial strategy. The levelling up agenda is a complete fraud and has been proven to do so multiple times over. It's just about, you know, dropping small chunks of money into seats they might think they might lose at the next election. This is a government, in my view, that is now just in total disarray, and they want the strikes to create a bogeyman that they can then blame, saying, oh, it's all their fault. In reality, it's their own fault. It wasn't workers on strike that collapsed the economy. It was Liz Truss's completely, in my view, extreme, ultra-neoliberal economic agenda. You know, when she's got people like sort of Margaret Thatcher's right-hand man coming out to sort of back her, and everyone else thinks she's a total laughing stock, you sort of think, you know, the Conservative Party is really in chaos at the moment, and they will lose the next election because of this.
And it's been interesting to see Liz Truss trying to position something of a comeback in just the last few days. Sam, on the point of the government, I mean, clearly they would say, look, we have a 5-point plan. Top of the list is inflation and tackling inflation, getting that down is a priority. Hence, this is why we can't reward these pay wage increases, because it will entrench inflation in this economy, would be the response, no doubt, from the Chancellor of the Exchequer and the Prime Minister. When it comes to the role of Labour, the Labour Party, do you get a sense when you're sitting there with union bosses that there's a sense of disappointment that the Labour Party hasn't been more full-throated in their support of this industrial action?
Look, I mean, Labour's got a really strong programme, yeah, that's been put forward, which is about the future of work. And that programme actually enhances rights at work. I think most union leaders accept that if there was a Labour government, most of these disputes wouldn't be happening. And actually, many of them would be settled, and certainly have been settled far, far more quickly. I think that people do understand that the economy has been tanked in quite a bad way. So money is obviously an issue. But in my view, it's a situation where people understand more than ever in the trade union movement. This is the people that represent manufacturing, represent, hundreds of thousands of people across the country. They want to see, they're the people there talking to, companies about how do you invest into this country? How do you keep, for example, not just manufacturing, but specific parts of that, whether that be in energy creation, whether that be in batteries, whether that be in car production, which are all starting to die off at the moment. So that's the jobs that those union bosses, as you call them, represent, those workers. They realise the government doesn't have a strategy on this stuff. We are decelerating, actually, rather than accelerating in that area. And I think that really is the way forward, is that if you are serious about giving people pay rises, you have to get the economy growing, hitting people in the pocket who haven't had a pay rise. Remember, we've had Conservative government 13 years now, had austerity, so people took a hit then. And then on top of that, you then had COVID. And then obviously now we've got massive levels of inflation. So in real terms, people that aren't just poor, or at the sort of lower end of working class, you've now got vast sections of what you consider traditionally the middle classes that are really feeling the squeeze. And this is why the government polling is 25% behind the Labour Party. Yeah. And so when you say about not supporting strikes, I think it's pretty clear that many, many Labour MPs have been out there on picket lines. And that, it's not just about being on picket lines. It's about the policies that we've got that would not just repeal all the crazy stuff that's been brought in, but actually give people money in their pockets by creating more jobs, investing in industry.
Hey, Sam, really appreciate your time and your insight. Sam Tarry, Labour MP for Ilford South and former Shadow Transport Minister. Thank you.
That's it from us for today. If you like the programme, don't forget to subscribe or give it 5 stars so other people can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you usually listen.
This episode was produced by Leanne Gerrans and Chris Pitt, and Maruful Hussain was on sound. I'm Tom McKenzie.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. We'll be back with more tomorrow. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg UK Politics. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.